and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture in Seattle, Washington. We have on the line with us today a very exciting guest, Dr. Jay Richards, who's a senior fellow at Discovery Institute and also a distinguished fellow of the Institute for Faith, Work, and Economics. Jay, if our listeners don't already know it, is one of the senior members of the ID movement. He's been with it since its very earliest days, written some notorious books such as The Privileged Planet, and also edited the award-winning anthology God and Evolution, Protestants, Catholics, and Jews Explore Darwin's Challenge to Faith. So, Dr. Richards, you know a lot about the intersection of science and faith, and so we're hoping to bring you on the show with us today to talk about this new reboot of the Cosmos series, which is premiering on Fox right now. So thanks for coming on the show with us today.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks, Casey.
So I have to confess, I have not actually watched a whole lot of the episodes of the original Cosmos, Dr. Richards. Maybe I can be forgiven. I guess I was, maybe 3 or 4 years old at the time when it premiered, so I was probably playing with Lego sets and trains or something at the time. Wasn't too interested. But you were watching the original series of Cosmos.
Yes.
So I'd like for you to maybe first give us a sense of, you know, this is a Cosmos reboot.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are we rebooting? What was the original Cosmos series like? Who was in it for maybe some of our listeners who aren't aware of that?
Yeah, it was actually around 1980, it broadcast on PBS, and I think it's still one of the most watched documentary series that's ever broadcast on PBS. But unlike the one that's broadcasting right now on Fox on Sunday nights and National Geographic on Monday nights, the original Cosmos series featured the now late astronomer Carl Sagan, and it's probably most well known. Certainly, it's referred to a lot by intelligent design folks because Sagan begins the series with this famous doctrinal quote in which he says, "The cosmos is all that is, or ever was, or ever will be." And that kind of combination of science teaching and discussion of the discoveries of science, but this infusion of a kind of quasi-spirituality in the original series, I think, is what makes it so memorable. I mean, I think it's not at all an exaggeration to say it was in some ways a kind of catechesis, a kind of teaching tool for materialism. And Sagan was quite open about that, obviously, with his quote that we just mentioned. The reboot is in many ways this Cosmos 2.0, I suppose, makes many references to the original series. In fact, Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's the host of the current Cosmos series, has interesting stories of interactions with Carl Sagan. In fact, Sagan, when he was a famous astronomer at Cornell University, got a letter from Neil deGrasse Tyson, who was a little kid living in New York City at the time, and Sagan actually met with him. So Tyson got on a bus in the Bronx and drove all the way to Cornell, and Sagan spent one Saturday with Neil deGrasse Tyson. So when you see the series that's going on right now, you'll see very often at the very end of an episode a reference back to Carl Sagan and to the original Cosmos series. But obviously the animation is profoundly different. It's a heck of a lot better now than it was in 1980. The host is different. It's another astronomer. But clearly the spirit of Carl Sagan is alive and well and perpetuated in the current series just as much as it was in the first series.
Yeah, there are certainly many allusions back to that original series in the current series, Dr. Richards. I feel like Neil deGrasse Tyson is constantly giving nods or allusions to kind of help the original viewers, I guess, and the fans mm-hmm. of the old series get along and get interested in the new series. And there's lots of Saganese being used as well, talking about science sheds light on the world, whereas religion brings darkness to it.
Mm.
And all this, the same imagery and diction that we saw Carl Sagan using is, I think, very deliberately being used in the new Cosmos series. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And in fact, both of us wrote on that really infamous first episode of this Cosmos series, which you thought was going to be up the Milky Way and kind of an exploration of our general astronomical environment, but it spent, I don't know, 25% or 30% of that first episode telling this story of this obscure, excommunicated Dominican friar named Giordano Bruno, who was really not a figure in the emergence of early modern science. Copernicus, if anyone is going to be talked about, would be the one you'd talk about, the guy who originally proposed the idea that the Earth was a planet that orbited the sun with the other planets in 1543. But in that first episode, Copernicus just gets a kind of brief mention, and then we get this animated retelling of the story of Giordano Bruno, And I think the reason for that is quite obvious. Bruno was burned at the stake by the church. And what they wanted to tell us without quite explicitly saying it is that Bruno was a martyr for the emergence of science, and Christianity, in particular Catholicism in that episode, was the great enemy of science. And if you're going to tell that story of the warfare between Christianity and science, you absolutely have to have a martyr. And unfortunately, Copernicus died peacefully in his bed. Galileo died peacefully in his bed under house arrest, but living on a church pension. And so they had to reach for this guy, Bruno, which was, I think, in some ways so shameless that, of course, we criticized it on Evolution News and Views blog. But even folks at the National Center for Science Education criticized it because, frankly, the history wasn't even as accurate as the history you get of Bruno if you read the entry on the Wikipedia page. And so I think that's symptomatic of how, in many ways, sort of anti-religious and materialistic the general outlook of this new series is, however great it may be in terms of science animation.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Dr. Richards. This is not the only incident where the new Cosmos series has been, say, stretching the truth a little bit or trying to insert a materialistic agenda into its retelling of the history of science. Are there any other examples that you can think of where the new Cosmos series, I guess we could say they're rewriting history, revising history to promote a materialistic narrative?
Definitely the treatment of Isaac Newton. I mean, anybody that knows anything about the history of science knows that Newton was not exactly an Orthodox Christian. He was probably an Arian. He had problems with the doctrine of the Trinity, but he was clearly a devout theist and understood himself as a Christian in many ways. He was absolutely fixated on arguments for design. But in the series, when Newton is treated, Tyson has to admit he was a God-fearing man, also a genius. And you almost feel that, okay, there's a kind of a contrast between those two things, and at least in Neil deGrasse Tyson's perspective. And so he presents Newton as, of course, a great scientist who wrote the Principia and helped unlock the kind of mathematical mysteries of gravity and of the workings of the solar system. But then he had this weird kind of religious fixation on Bible prophecy and stuff like that, but that never went anywhere. And so the impression of the casual viewer is that, okay, Newton happened to be a religious man, but his religion was idiosyncratic and had nothing to do with the science. Well, of course, anyone that knows anything about Newton knows that right in the middle of his most famous scientific work, the Principia, is this section called the General Scholium, where he explicitly makes an argument from the evidence of the arrangement of the solar system, not just to intelligent design, but actually to a transcendent and benevolent God. And whatever you want to say about Newton's argument there, it is absolutely untrue to say that his science and his theistic religious beliefs were somehow separate. In fact, they're intimately related, and his understanding that the natural world was, in a sense, God's cryptogram, the reality of a nature that has been created by a rational God is itself rational, so human beings and scientists can expect to uncover its mysteries. That theistic perspective was intrinsic to Newton's thought and to most of the thinkers in the early modern scientific revolution. You'd never get any sense of that watching the Cosmos series. In fact, what you'd get is the sense that religion and Christianity were either an enemy of science, or at best they were kind of incidental beliefs to early modern science that made no difference to scientific discovery. It's just not true.
You make some really valid points there, Dr. Richards. And of course, as you said, whether Newton himself was an Orthodox Christian really isn't the issue. The issue is Cosmos wants to tell the story that religion of any kind, of any belief in a supreme deity and in a God, in some kind of religious devotion that maybe we owe to our creator, all of those kinds of beliefs, according to Cosmos, hinder science and hold back the progress of science. But when you look at the early founders of modern science, they all turn out to be believers in a supreme God who created an intelligible universe that they believed they could go out and discover the way that universe worked precisely because they believed in a God who created everything. And it's not just Christians. There's also, I don't know if you saw this episode, Dr. Richards, but I believe it was episode 5 that talked about Mo Tse,
yes,
this ancient Chinese philosopher who actually was one of the early promoters of monotheism in ancient China thousands of years ago. He believed in almost a somewhat Judeo-Christian-like conception of a supreme creator God who created everything and was loving and so forth. And obviously he was no Christian or Jew, but he certainly had similar beliefs, and he promoted a sort of early version of science in ancient China. And yet somehow Cosmos tries to tell this story of Mose being against faith, which is incredible.
It is. And in fact, I think their treatment of Mose, I thought initially when I was watching that episode, are they talking about some other person that I've never heard of? And finally I realized, oh my word, they're talking about this guy whose books were burned by the more powerful Confucians at the time. He was clearly a monotheist who appealed to heaven. I thought, why on earth are we hearing about him in the Cosmos series? And then I realized, well, what they wanted is to give you the impression, first of all, that it's multicultural, that even over in China, there was this sort of free thinker that wrote a book called Against Faith, which you wrote about on the Evolution News. It sounds like Tyson says against faith. Of course, whether that's intentional or not, the book was Against Fate. That was the book that Mozi wrote, and the Confucians, who incidentally are essentially agnostics, managed to get his work suppressed and his books burned. And so only by completely misconstruing this story, which I think Tyson could assume most Americans would know the story, misconstruing it, could they turn it into, again, a sort of anti-religious diatribe, which is the sort of crucial historical narrative that they want told in this series.
Absolutely. So I think what we're really seeing here is what happens when materialism gets a lot of money to put together a project. I mean, I have no idea how many millions of dollars they had in funding for the new Cosmos reboot. The animation really is spectacular, Dr. Richards.
It is.
I mean, let's give credit where credit is due. There are many sequences in this new series that have beautiful CGI animations of things like electrons orbiting atoms, or showing how the inner workings of physics operate, or talking about the spectrum of light and how light works. I mean, there are some actually wonderful sequences that I think a lot of science teachers would like to use in their classes were it not for sort of this materialistic philosophy that's been added on, in many cases actually distorting the truth about what really happened. So you're sort of seeing what will materialism do when they get a lot of money here.
Yeah, and that's what really unfortunate, because I think you're exactly right. I mean, I love the section talking about Herschel and Newton and the discoveries of the nature of the spectrum and all the mysteries of the universe that opened up. It's terrific, and that's hard stuff that's hard to explain. And so when Cosmos is doing that stuff, I applaud it. It's just distressing, because the fact that it's teaching science well and intuitively, I think, is going to mean it's probably going to get used in a lot of school classrooms. And unfortunately, it's packaged in the warp and woof of the program with bad materialist philosophy and really, really bad history. And so in many ways, it's a kind of caricature of the science textbook that we're used to dealing with, in which you might get some basic empirical facts, but they're distorted and repackaged within a materialistic worldview. And so I think that's the reason we're writing about it and talking about it, because it is, on the one hand, a terrific video production that's also, I tell my kids every Sunday night, okay, let's sit down. It's time for materialistic catechism class, you know.
I know we're running short on time here, Dr. Richards, but this is my last question I want to ask you. Do you recommend that people watch the new Cosmos? And if so, should they watch it with a critical eye? How should they be watching it?
I really hope people will watch this. I mean, we've been following the news, and it sounds like it's not doing that well in the ratings. But I think the reason it's not doing well is that they took a big risk by having it show not just on the National Geographic channel and affiliated channels, but on Fox on Sunday night during prime time. And so, you know, you're competing with popular reality TV shows and things like that. But the truth of the matter is it's of the normal offerings on network TV, it's probably one of the better things on. It's at least generally educational. And I consider it an opportunity. And I think parents ought to watch it with their kids. Don't just let the kids watch it and not help them. Sit down with them on Sunday nights or on Monday nights, or just watch it online when they post it on the website, and work through it and help them to be discerning, because we don't want kids to be quarantined from these ideas. We also don't want them to be overexposed. And I would argue we want our kids to be inoculated so that they're exposed to the very best ideas and the very best arguments on every side of an issue, but they're also given the tools to be able to critically evaluate these things. And so the best thing that could happen, I think, is for kids, one, to learn the stuff that ought to be learned from the series, but also to learn how to separate the chaff from the wheat. So they learn to recognize the difference between good, solid, empirical science and scientific evidence and bad materialistic philosophy. And this is a perfect opportunity to help kids with that skill.
Well, Dr. Richards, I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, if you want to help inoculate yourself against many of the false assertions in Cosmos, check out Evolution News and Views. That's evolutionnews.org, Discovery Institute's news site. website where both Dr. Richards, myself, and others have been blogging about the new Cosmos series. We've been providing some very well-documented rebuttals talking about the true history of science and how it was really Judeo-Christian monotheism that gave birth to modern science, and how that fact is recognized by leading scholars in the field of science and religion who have no apologetic axe to grind. They're just trying to figure out what happened. And you'll learn about what scholars really say about the origins of modern science and how much Cosmos is distorting the truth. And I think it's great preparation for folks who are going to go on to college and hear sort of some of these revisionist histories being taught to students. So, Dr. Richards, thank you so much for your time today, and we look forward to seeing more of your commentary on Cosmos in the future.
Thanks so much, Casey.
I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2014. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.